B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Three Doors Down frontman Brad Arnold joins me today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. We talk about lots of things, including what he wouldn't do because he doesn't drink anymore.
I used to, but now I don't drink anymore. So I don't have the courage.
He's coming up on 5 years of sobriety, and the key person to help him get sober was a music legend who we'll also discuss.
I was drinking a lot. I mean, a lot. Even during the day, I was drinking a lot. And it's just kind of going downhill there over the last, like, month or so.
The reason for this interview was a post I saw on his Instagram page of him in his studio singing. What's that all about?
And I just wrote these lyrics down, just kind of, they weren't hard to write, you know. They're kind of simple, but they say a lot to me.
Yeah, he's releasing a new song, and pretty quickly. All the details in our conversation with Brad Arnold today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock.
Talkin' Rock.
Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Ah, yes, back at it right here today for the Talkin' Rock of Meltdown podcast. Thanks so much for clicking and downloading. A lot of good stuff coming up today with Brad Arnold from Three Doors Down, as we'll discuss. I actually messaged him after I saw a post he put on Instagram where he was singing behind a microphone. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And we talked about new Three Doors Down. Yeah, kind of, sort of. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. But Brad is truly one of the nicest guys in this business, as he calls himself, just a simple man. And that he is, but just a super good guy. I kind of find that the bands that are from the South are just really nice. I've never met a band from the South that wasn't. You know, Jesse Dupree, the Shinedown guys, you know, the guys from Three Doors Down, like I said, just some really good people there. And Brad is definitely near the top of the list as far as just quality people are concerned. But anyways, we'll get into Brad here coming up in just a few minutes. If you like this podcast, you make it all the way through, you thought it was pretty decent, give it a 5-star rating on Apple and iTunes. Just click on, you know, the Apple and iTunes and on your podcast app and check out the Talkin' Rock and Meltdown podcast. Give it 5 stars. I would appreciate that. Write a review if you'd like to as well. In the meantime, it's Brad Arnold today on Talkin' Rock. How goes it, Brad?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here with you.
No doubt. We've got a lot to talk about. It's been a while since I've talked to you here. But first of all, fill everybody in on what you've been doing during the lockdown, the pandemic. Have you left Nashville or anything?
You know what? I went down to South Mississippi just a couple of weeks ago to see my parents for a few days. But that's actually the only time I've left. I enjoy being home, and very thankfully, I live on a farm, so I have plenty to do around here, and I've been cutting down trees and keeping the grass cut and taking care of horses. And honestly, I mean, when it was like a really like lockdown, they said you're locked down. I was like, good, I can catch up on some stuff I need to do.
Now, do your parents like to come up and stay with you up in Nashville?
They've been up a couple of times, but I think that's a little bit further than my daddy wants to drive, and I think that's a little bit further than my mama wants to ride with my daddy.
Okay. I got you. So I want to get into this a little bit here. So you're living in Nashville now. I talked to Scott Stapp, I don't know, a couple months ago, and it was funny because he said he stopped at like an egg stand on the side of the road or something, and there was what's the country artist who's married to the movie star? The real famous country artist. He was on America's Got Talent or one of those singing shows.
Brad Paisley?
No. He plays the guitar. He's married to the Australian actress.
Keith Urban.
Keith Urban, yeah. He saw Keith Urban on the side of the road. I can't believe I couldn't think of his name. Anyways, so do you bump into like you know, rock stars and people in your business from time to time?
You do kind of sometimes, you know. But around here, nobody even really thinks anything about it, you know.
Right.
And I live in Murfreesboro, which is about like maybe 40 miles from Nashville. And I don't go into town too much. But you do see him around, but man, you know, Nashville's a good town that sets the example of they just people, you know, they just out too, you know, they ain't nothing. Nobody thinks anything about it. 'Cause it's just like, it's such and such, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but do you ever go into town and do like any like do you ever get up on stage and do like open mic nights or anything like that?
I used to, but now I don't drink anymore.
Oh.
So I don't have the courage. No, man, I tell you what, I used to though, but Nashville is like one of the, I'll do that maybe like somewhere. It'd just be like silly or something, get up there and cover one of our songs or, you know, I mean, just something silly.
Yeah.
And, but in Nashville, man, you can't do that because people are too good down there. You go down, if you're walking down Broadway, it's like people coming to town, I'll take them down there and like, how are these people like not on tour? I was like, well, a lot of them are, you know, it's just, they come down here and play and then they go, you know, they might be in some big artist band, but the talent in the town is unbelievable when you go down there you know, even if country music ain't your thing, I mean, it's still this good artist. But I say that, but at the same time, you know, Nashville's not really just country anymore. It is everything around here. I mean, I think Paramore lives around here, and it's weird that a lot of the old kind of metal guys are moving out in the country.
Yeah.
Out here. This town, just a few towns over from me, I mean, and it's out in the sticks. It's a beautiful little town, but like some big name metal artists live out there, and I'm like, man, it's pretty cool.
I know Dave Mustaine lives out there, and I was texting with you back and forth a couple months ago. I was going to go down there. Then the whole pandemic thing hit, but I was going to go see Tom Kiefer. And, of course, our friend Kid Rock lives down there, and there's all sorts of people that live down there.
Yeah, absolutely. I text Kid Rock not too terribly. Well, I say not too long ago. It's been probably 6 months ago, and asked him if he wanted to come shoot out here one day. And he's like, yeah, man. And he had something going on, but me and him, I like him, man. I do want to get up with him and shoot some guns one day.
Well, sometime when I get down there, we'll have to take a ride over to Rock's house, or he can come over to your house or whatever. But it was funny because I was going to bring my bicycle and try to put on a bunch of miles. I'll never forget you texted me like, I'll damn sure pedal with you. Do you ride a bike down there?
I do, man. And out here in Murfreesboro, we actually have a lot of greenway around here. We don't really, because these roads around here are not very wide. Tennessee's got some skinny little roads, so I ain't really about like getting out on the roads and riding. But out in Murfreesboro, man, we have like a 40-something mile greenway out here. And it's really nice. They just opened up another section of it that goes down by Stone River. And surprisingly enough, about probably 60% of it's shaded too. So I like that too in the summertime.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyways, well, the reason that we're talking is because I saw on your Instagram, which by the way, I love looking at your Instagram today, by the way, you posted a picture. I just saw it just before you called here. How old were you in that picture with the Paw Patrol sticker on it or whatever it is?
I think I was probably 8 or 9 in that. Yeah, 7 or 8. I wasn't very old. But my mom and daddy gave me those pictures. I was down there seeing them a couple of weeks ago. My mama found it in the box and gave me a couple of them. I took a picture of it, put it on there. But I remember them days. That was good times back then, man. But, we was in the studio yesterday. We were recording a song. Greg, our drummer, he sent me a guitar part not long ago. And, man, I've always said that I can't sit down and write a song. But sometimes lyrics will just fall out of the sky and hit me in the face. And I just write them down. And that's what always, the best songs that we've ever written, that's how they happen. And if something will strike me in a chord of music, or I'll get an idea or something. Well, Greg sent me this song maybe a month ago. And a line came in my head of just about the idea of I don't mean it. It's not a song that's meant to be political or anything like that. It's just that we can all see, with everything going on in the world right now, that there are some hands at work that don't necessarily have the common man and woman in best interest in mind. And that idea has kind of been in my head for a little while. And I think a lot of people kind of feel the same way. And I just wrote these lyrics down, just kind of, they weren't hard to write, you know, they're kind of simple, but they say a lot to me. And they just went like right along with that guitar part that Greg wrote. And I wrote them and kind of finished them the other day. I said, man, I said, I just want to record this song because we have a little studio up in Hendersonville. Nothing fancy, but we can. I mean, you don't need a fancy studio to make music. And so we went up there, and I said, man, I just want to record it and put it out. Like, I want to put it out in a week. And it's just, it's really simple anyway. It's just a guitar, a vocal, and we're getting a guy to put a cello part on it. And so it's just really going to be like three parts. But the song is called Wicked Man. And I think that people, you know, it ain't something, it's not a song that makes you want to get up and dance. But it's a song that you can listen to and be like, damn, man, I get what he's saying right there, you know? And so I'm excited for people to hear it. And I think we're just gonna put it out.
So as we record this on July 23rd, you're just going to put this out by the end of the month, you think?
I won't put it out by the end of next week.
Really? Okay. Well, that would be the end of the month, I suppose.
Yeah, that will be the end of the month. I'll lose track of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would like to put it out like by the end of the month, and because, you know, the dude that engineered it for us is a friend of ours, and he said he'd mix it, and we're just going to try to like make like maybe a really quick little lyric video of it, and just put out a song, you know, and just list it, put it on different platforms, and hope you guys will play it, get some folks to play it around. I just want people to hear it, and I'm not really, you know, by the grace of God, I can say that we do this because we love it, not because we need to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if it's a hit. I just want people to hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's how I love to kind of look at music lately. I just want to write something that somebody can be like, yeah, man. And not to mention, this is the first thinking new song that we recorded in 5 years.
Wow. I can't even think about that. But yeah, I mean, obviously when you go into a recording studio, you write a song, you know, any person who ever wrote a song in the history of mankind probably wanted that song to resonate with somebody. And that's what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, and that's what I tell people all the time. People message me on Instagram and stuff all the time. They're like, man, well, how do you do music? I mean, how do you get successful? I mean, how do you get big in music? I said, well, man, the first thing you got to do is forget about being big. I said, don't ever measure the success of your music by how many records you sell or, you know, how many people listen to it. I said, if your friends like it and be like, yeah, man, that's a good song, fine. Be satisfied with that. And, I mean, if they're like, yeah, man, I get what you're saying with that, cool. You wrote a good song. Because, I mean, it's by the grace of God that you become famous or successful and, I mean, get to do what we've done. I mean, I'm so thankful. But, I mean, there's a ton of bands that are better than us, probably, you know, and they just – that are out there that maybe nobody got a chance to hear, but that don't mean they're not good.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know. So did Chris or any other guys in the band outside of Greg help you write this song, or are they input on it or no?
Just me and Greg.
Okay.
Greg's a good writer, man. He's and I like the way Greg writes because he writes as a drummer. And, you know, I write lyrics as a drummer.
Because you were a drummer, for people that don't know. You were the original drummer in Three Doors Down before you decided just to sing.
Yeah. I was when we were a local band, I was a drummer and a singer. And I played on their first record, Kryptonite and all that stuff.
Right.
I'm not a great drummer, but I can keep a beat.
So I actually messaged you a couple months ago because Greg actually put out a single a couple months back and stuff. Have you heard all his stuff?
I heard that one song that he put out, and I liked it. I liked it. It was cool. I messaged him because he didn't tell me he was doing that. Excuse me. So I got online, and I downloaded it, and I heard it, and I was like, son of a – he'd been in my band for 13 years. He'd been sitting there beating on them drums, and I didn't know he could sing. And I just texted him. I said, guess what you getting? A microphone.
So is he singing part or backup vocals or something on this?
No. He just done the guitar on it. It's just a little simple two part. I put some little background vocals on it, but
all right.
It's just meant to be really simple.
So what about the rest of the band and Three Doors Down? Have you guys written anything during this timeout, this lockdown? Have you guys I think you guys were doing like some Zoom stuff, weren't you together?
Yeah, we kind of tried, but that was just so I don't see how people do that, man. I couldn't get up on it. I just couldn't. We were sitting in, it's like, all right, that was fun. I'll see y'all in a couple of weeks or something. But we're about to, because it was actually kind of inspiring to get together and do it yesterday. And I just never rushed writing. And people are always like, man, it's been forever since you put a song out. And I do need to sit down and write more. But I've always believed that it came when it came. And I have a ton of ideas recorded in my phone. And we need to get together and record them. And I've got a couple, I don't say I'm going to put a country record out or nothing like that, but I've got a couple of country songs that I would like to, record, but it wouldn't be like, oh my God, Brad, making honky tonk. It's not, they're not those kind of songs, but I'd like to record them too. I just want people to hear songs that I believe in, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And you know what? Hey, listen, you could take a country song nowadays, now that you're, you know, down in Nashville and stuff, you've been there for a while, but you take a country song, put a little bit of heavier guitars on there, you never know, it could come into a rock song.
That is the absolute truth. That is well, you know what? But some of that country stuff they took too far. I was walking out of my barn, and I turned around a while ago and asked Jen, I said, what did he just say? He said, we're going to smoke a blunt. I said, that's a country song? She said, that's a country song now. I said, no, that's a country. That's a song that they're playing on a country radio station. I ain't never heard a country song talking about smoking a blunt.
Well, that one song with Zach Brown where they got to edit out ass in the sand, you know, that's just like, jeez, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of the stuff is just ridiculous. So just to wrap up the Three Doors Down, so where exactly are you guys right now as far as writing, recording? I mean, is it just kind of just in a standby right now? And maybe, you know, you, like you said, you got some inspiration and possibly maybe start working on some stuff pretty soon?
Well, see, I mean, it is kind of a gear shift right now. And I think that we might start writing a little bit of stuff. I mean, I hate to like say that we're going to, put out a record or something like that soon, because I kind of like the dynamic that we can just go write a song and record it and put it out. And maybe do a couple of them at a time. And, you know, if we don't have a whole record, maybe we can just write two or three and put them out. But we'll see how that goes. But really the reason that we hadn't been working on any is because it's just kind of like up in the air. Because, you know, like this year, we're supposed to be on tour all year this year. It was our 20th year, or because this is our 20-year anniversary of the Bell Act.
That's right, yeah.
And so we just moved, like just picked up everything and moved it a calendar year. And so with that 20-year anniversary, we're going to re-release the Better Life record. And we had it remastered and stuff, and it sounds really good. Chris Lord Alge done some remixes on it. And so the demo CD that we recorded that got us signed originally, that we recorded down in Biloxi, we're actually going to package it with the Better Life and put out that CD along with the Better Life. And that CD has about half of that CD became the Better Life.
Wow.
About the other half of that CD is songs that I think maybe one of them was on Away from the Sun, but then the other ones are stuff that people haven't heard. And so that'll be, it's kind of old new music, but it's kind of cool. And to revisit those and see where some of those songs started. But you know, that was the plan for this year, but now, hey man, I'm down with, I mean, if a song, I told Greg on the way out the studio yesterday, I said, man, you write something else, please send it to me. Cause I mean, we got up there and recorded that song in the studio and just knocked it out in a day. But man, we literally wrote that song we made a demo of it that sounded good on our phones. We made it in GarageBand, and this company Lewitt gave us some microphones a couple of years ago, and honestly, it sat in a box for a while. I never touched it, but it has a little interface to where you can put it into GarageBand, and dude, you can make that thing. That vocal mic is good. It's good.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's weird how far we've come in 20 years since your first record.
Oh, dude. Hey, here's something. Our first record, we recorded on 2-inch. And not many people know the difference, but most records now are recorded straight into a computer.
Right.
And, I mean, it can be manipulated and digitized. And even, man, you can do anything you want to. That you can't do that on 2-inch tape.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's a lot harder for sure. But that package you're talking about sounds awesome, man. I think that you should release that maybe, you know, in October, November, maybe for a Christmas type thing.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, you could send one right here to Meltdown, One Radio Plaza. I'm just kidding.
Hey, you know that we have one on the way for you, brother.
Yeah, dude, that sounds really cool. So that's cool. So, yeah, everything's looking, here's another thing I wanted to ask you about, too. So you talk about, you know, you guys are supposed to be touring and stuff, and I've talked to a lot of musicians from Gavin Rosdale to Brent Smith to all sorts of guys since this whole thing started. Is there a part of you that, like, obviously misses the tour and the stage and seeing the fans, but is there also a part of you that really enjoys, you know, being at home? We were talking about this before we started, and that you're taking care of your farm and the whole thing.
Absolutely. Man, I miss being on tour. I miss being on tour and playing shows, but I love being at home. I love my wife. I love being here with her. She's my best friend. Mm. And you know, I don't say that like sucking up and stuff. I enjoy being home because I'm a pretty simple dude, man. You give me a four-wheeler, like we was talking about, give me a lawnmower. I get out there and I have some really good evenings riding my lawnmower. and you know what I'm saying? And just piddling around here there's a little deer live in the back. I'm sitting here looking at three big old turkeys that live in my yard. My buddy wanted to come hunt these turkeys. I was like, hunt them? They live in my driveway.
Yeah, it's too easy, right?
Yeah. But I do. I mean, I love playing shows. But I love being at home, too. And touring, the shows are the fun part. You know, that's the hour and a half of the day that is amazing. And I thank God for that hour and a half. There's 22 and a half hours that go along with it. Sometimes are filled with boredom. And, I mean, at the end of the day, you get in your little box on that bus that seems glamorous, but it's really not. And you ride down the road every night. I'm not complaining about that at all. I freaking love it.
Yeah, and
I do love being home, too.
Yeah, no doubt. It's so funny you say how you're such a simple man, and I know you are, and it's so funny because I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you do. Years ago when you played here in Detroit, I brought my son up on the bus, and you uttered the phrase, country is cornbread, and my son has never forgotten that phrase.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now my son's 17 now. He was probably 11 or 12 at the time. But every time something's country or there's cornbread, he'll always go, country is cornbread.
That's awesome. That accurately describes us.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, for people that don't know, that you mentioned the 22 and a half hours of boredom, you know, throughout the day. Of course, you got sound checks and meet and greets and different things like that to take up time. But you still got another 20 hours to kill, I'm sure. And you told me, you know, and I'm not speaking out of school because you mentioned this in an interview with me years ago, that you actually became an alcoholic trying to kill time throughout the day. And now when you go on tour, when you were touring, you try to find stuff to fill your, and occupy your time, right?
Absolutely, man. I do, too. I've seen more of the country in the last 5 years than I did, I think, the previous 15.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, I found that just about any little town you go to, excuse me, has got some kind of museum, a little something. And every little one of them things, $4 or $5, pay them and walk through it. And every one of them, you'll learn something. It's like, dang, realize that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or just something. And thank God for Planet Fitness, because pay $20 a month and go to like any of them.
Right.
You know, and just get you out of the venue for a couple hours a day and go in and work out a little bit and get you feeling better. And man, I wish I would have quit drinking so much longer ago than I did, man. And I just didn't realize how much more fun I'd have when I quit.
Yeah, and one of the key people to helping you quit just passed away, in Charlie Daniels. Talk about him for a minute.
He absolutely did. Mr. Charlie really did help me when I was right before I needed to go to treatment to quit, and it helped me tremendously. But right before I decided to go, we were over in Japan, and we were playing some military shows over there, and I was just drinking a lot. I mean, a lot, even during the day. I was drinking a lot. And it just kind of gone downhill there over the last, like, month or so. And you don't have to drink like that long before you're done. And I was just down one night, and we'd already played and stuff. And God knows even what time it was at home here. It's probably early in the morning. And I just needed to talk to somebody. I was drunk and just needed to talk to somebody and just I didn't need to talk to somebody. And I just called a couple of my friends, and none of them answered. And I FaceTimed Mr. Charlie. And Mr. Charlie and Miss Hazel, his wife, were sitting on the couch. And I just sat there and talked to him for a while and told him all my problems and stuff. And he said, son, you know, and Mr. Charlie's a good Christian man. And he said a prayer for me. He said, son, he said, when you get home, he said, it's a rehab. He said, go. He said, you think you need to, then you need to. And he said, and he just told me some other stuff and some really good life advice. And I came home and I bitched about it. I complained about it and stuff. I told my wife, well, I'm going to rehab when I get home. Well, I did.
Yeah.
and I went, and it is the absolute best thing I ever did, because it took me once. And I went, and I've not wanted it, man. You know, of course, when it's easier as time goes on and stuff. But man, I'd give that fight to God, and I'm done with it. And you know, I don't go to meetings and stuff, man. A lot of people need that. A lot of people, maybe they do it their own way. But for me, you know, I'm good here with, because I don't really go around it, and I can go around it, and it'll bother me a bit. But I just say that I don't go around it because I just happen to not be around it that much. So, because I think I was away from it long enough that it just kind of got out of my, even out of my psyche. But man, he was instrumental in helping me go. And also Chris Henderson, our guitar player, well, he was too, man. He helped me, and he surely helped me when I, still helps me sometimes, you know. It ain't easy every day. But I thank God for them, and I thank God for helping me quit that. And I don't miss it a bit.
And now, you obviously kept in contact with Charlie Daniels after this. And this was how many years ago, by the way?
That had been almost 5 years ago.
Okay, almost 5 years. So so you're coming up on your fifth anniversary. That's pretty cool. So you've obviously kept in touch with Charlie Daniels and stuff. And, did he show that he was proud of you? I mean, tell me your relationship like him before he passed away.
Absolutely. I'd text him every time I got a new year. I'd be like, one more year, Mr. Charlie. You did good, son. And still just like, let's see, it's been he was 80 at the time. On his 80th birthday, he done the volunteer jam. And I think he done maybe one or two more after. I'm sitting here looking at the rifle he gave us. We played his volunteer jam on his 80th birthday.
Wow.
With him a couple of years ago. And he gave us all 44 Magnum Henry rifles with the etching on the back of it. I'm sitting here. I bought a trophy case and put it in, but I'm sitting here looking at it. And I won't ever forget him giving those to us. I didn't know he was getting them. And he's just a good man, you know. And Mr. Charlie met my daddy one time and met my little nephew one time. Carried my little nephew around all night until he had to go play. And Elliot was just a little boy then. Which he's a little boy now. But anyway, from that day on, that's been probably, man, it's been 7-8 years ago. He met my daddy one time, every time I've seen him since. He said, hey, bro, how you doing? I'm good, Mr. Charlie. How good? How's your daddy and him? Every single time. Every time, you know. He's just that kind of man. So after Hurricane Katrina, you know, I'm from South Mississippi. Hurricane Katrina just wiped everything 8 miles from that coast and closer, just wiped it away. It was gone. Excuse me. And there's a beach park down there. And some different artists have come down here and did different things. And they had done good stuff. But Mr. Charlie, the city of Pascagoula, was getting him to come down there and play a show. And they said, would you come play a show if we could just pay your expenses? He said, of course. And he came down there and played the show. I was at the show. That was before I knew him, really. I'd kind of met him, but I didn't really know him. And he came down there and played that show. And when we went to pay him, he said, I don't want y'all's money. And he said, well, we said we'd pay y'all expenses. He said, well, it'd be all right. Y'all need that money down here. He wouldn't take a dime from them for coming and playing that show.
That's nice. Yeah, there's those people are few and far between, especially in the business you're in. Although I have to say that I do meet a lot of nice people in this business, and you know, who knows?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more than I realize, but
there's some good folks, but they ain't none like him.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Well, cool, man. Well, listen, thanks for the time, Brad. We'll cut you loose here. Like I said, I saw you on Instagram yesterday, and you were working behind the mic, and you said something's coming or something along those lines. And I'm like, hey, man, I got to get you on to talk about this. And you were nice enough to do it, so I do appreciate that. And
My pleasure.
Hopefully, maybe you can do a 21st anniversary of the Better Life. And then,
hey, I'll do. We are. We're just moving it. We just moved everything a year. And hopefully, by then, everything is good. So, next summer, we'll be out there, man, and we'll be up there.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate that. That's great, man. I can't wait to see you guys. Of course, one of my favorite guys to hang out with you guys, and it was a good show last summer here. I love those midsummer shows. I guess you're probably the same.
Me too, man. I can't wait for them.
All right, Brad. Hey. Well, listen, thanks so much for the time. Be well, and can't wait to hear this new track.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Brad Arnold today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Can't wait to hear that brand new track that him and Greg Upchurch put together. So, like he says, could be coming out relatively soon. That would be cool. And, man, I got to get down to Nashville someday. I've never been there. I don't know. For whatever reason, just never went there. I was going to go there with my wife a couple years back for her birthday. Then, of course, like I said, I was going to go there at the end of March, and just, I don't know, plans just fell through. But it would be cool to get down there and see some of the sights and hear some of the music, no question about it. Hey, like I said in the beginning of the show, if you like this podcast, 5-star ratings are always appreciated. Reviews, and share it with your friends on social media. That's always cool as well, kind of get the word out there, not only about the podcast, but about the bands that we talk to here on Talkin' Rock. Just go back and check out some of the previous interviews I've done with a couple bass players, Rob DeLuca from Spread Eagle and Sebastian Bach and UFO. Had JD from Black Label Society on recently. Just tons of bands this year, and I got a few more already locked and loaded coming up here for next week. Got to thank you guys for listening. Got to thank Brad for taking so much time with us. And until we do it again, thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.